having all that in the palm of your hand, but not being bothered to access it, not taking the time to read it properly, it will always require that wisdom, that application.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Stay Hungry podcast. Joel and Andy today talking about knowledge versus wisdom and navigating the difference. Andy, how are you doing?
I was doing okay.
Do you know what I can't say?
Oh, go on, what?
It's been ages since we've done this, because it hasn't.
We did one last week.
Anyway, what's the matter? You worried?
The blind's up.
Shit.
Joel can't see because he's got... Well, he could if he turned around. On our checklist for setting up a podcast, one of the things is make sure that the blind's down. And it's up. But I think both should be down, because I've seen some podcast videos and my face looks as bright as fucking anything.
That's just what you look like, just full of joy.
You look like a...
angelic cherub of joy and shine.
White bloke, I was going to say, but...
That's weird.
Well, it is strange. You see, it's really badly lit.
Oh, we'll have a word.
Whenever Chris Williamson talks about his podcast... He always introduced it, and have you noticed on his Instagram, he talks a lot about...
The scene.
It talks a lot about...
Spends a lot of money on the lighting and the scene. I think it...
We spent 20 quid talking
about it. Yeah, I was going to say, if you've got like guests that would potentially cost you thousands to have, I mean, I realise he doesn't necessarily have to pay for them.
Am I not getting paid for this?
To get the best out of them, I suppose you've got to really...
Yeah. Anyway, someone's getting beaten now, then, aren't they? The blinds up.
It's upset me. You've thrown me. So, anyway, knowledge versus wisdom. I've got a quote about this that Andy's going to tear into as soon as I say it. And Andy has a
knowledge is having a checklist. Wisdom is looking at it.
Nice, done. End of podcast. Fuck. So, I heard it the other day and it just rang with me. So, knowledge is knowing that Frankenstein is the name of the scientist, not the monster. Wisdom is knowing that the scientist is the monster. And I was like, oof. Now, if you don't know who Frankenstein is, that's going to be an issue for you. So you've got an alternative.
Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad.
Yeah.
We just brought the level down now, haven't we?
the point being that there's so many like experts out there, apparently. And so, like, you know, loads of people telling you how to do life hacks, marketing hacks, bloody martial arts hacks on YouTube, all these things. And some of these people do have a lot of knowledge, but when it comes down to it, they might not have application. They might not have the wisdom of experience. They haven't actually done it. It's like, I don't know, this is an awful example. I don't know why it's popped into my head, but you might be amazing on the gun range, but be you any good when you're actually being shot at?
And it's like jiu-jitsu. You can train and train and train. But unless you spar, you won't know whether these techniques you're learning will work on a resisting opponent.
Yeah.
But speaking of hacks, there's a guy now making a lot of money. He might be an Australian guy, using Instagram ads on basically claiming how he got to brown belt in a year, which is like unheard of.
Mm.
And so he's selling an online course, which is basically a hack, how to get amazing at jiu-jitsu really quickly. And of course, it's fucking flying. Everyone wants a hack.
Have you bought it?
No, fuck no.
Well, because it could be one of those things that's a fiver and you can all...
How much was it? I don't know, actually. But no, it's like... I like saving time, making time, absolutely. But I just don't understand how that will beat time on the mats.
Yeah. And it's an interesting one. Like, we talk a lot about value here. And I don't think knowledge has the value it once had. You know, like... 300 years ago, let's say, you go to the village sage and they would be the only one that could read, and knowledge would have a lot of value. 100 years ago, libraries were starting to open up. A lot more people had knowledge. Now everyone has the internet in the palm of their hand. Knowledge...
Still thick.
but knowledge is readily accessible, so it's lost its value. But application of knowledge or wisdom still has a lot of value. Like, anyone can watch a DIY video. You wouldn't trust anyone to hang your front door. And that's kind of the difference.
There is that sort of joke quote, isn't there, about, you know, we used to think it was people's lack of knowledge that sort of caused so many excuses, and then, it wasn't that.
Yeah.
It's like, now the internet's coming along, there's no excuse. But having all that in the palm of your hand, but not being bothered to access it, not taking the time to read it properly, it will always require that wisdom, that application.
It's lack of application, yeah. Like, I... at school, I was pretty good at maths. Shock. But I obviously haven't, other than day to day, I haven't had to use much of the maths that you learn at school. But for some reason, TikTok's got me pegged now. And it started serving me like trigonometry and like GCSE maths questions, let's say. And I can't help myself, but like have a go. And the first few were tricky because you're out of practice. So it's not the knowledge, because I knew how to do them. I just couldn't get there. But now, after a little bit of application, I'm in flow and like, oh, I'm obviously getting served more of them because I'm spending more time looking at them. But
yeah, that's what I mean. It's I mean, how many courses we've been on over the years, conferences, and me and you both love taking notes, whether it's a notepad, using our notes app. And then what I tend to do is I will disseminate those notes. In fact, when we do a conference that's more than a day now, we actually block out time in our diary afterwards. This sounds really sad, but to basically put action points on what we've learned. But we know that 90% of people who attend these conferences, they listen to all this stuff, but don't make any notes. And so they've got all the knowledge, but it will disappear and it won't get applied and they'll lose out. Yeah,
and I think there's two things with that. There's the person that's going to the conference thinking it's going to change their life, and you're going to be sorely disappointed. That very rarely happens. And there's the person...
Even as a manifesting conference.
And there's the person that goes to the conference and furiously makes notes but absorbs nothing. Mm-hmm. And what you actually want to do is across, say, like the conferences we go to 2 or 3 days, find 3 things that are going to make the boat go faster and then action on them. And if you get 3 out of a 3 day, you've done all right.
Yeah, that's why it's a big part. It's got to be a big part of our academy, not just sharing information, but giving people like practical ways to make it more likely that that knowledge gets actioned.
Yeah, applied, yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise, again, it's just, it's half the battle. It's great to have knowledge. You know, it's great if that can be combined with experience the longer you are in the game. But, you know, one of the reasons why the academy, we believe, is head and shoulders above the other training courses out there is that the stuff we're teaching is tried and tested at the point end, because we will always retain a small number of done-for-you clients. So everything we share in the academy will be based on stuff that has been implemented, that is up-to-date and fresh.
Yeah.
Not just something that hasn't been tested for a few years, or something that sounds good and sounds cool and jargony, but have you actually done that in real life with a real business? Well, not really.
And we're not just doing it on other people's businesses, we're doing it on our own as well.
Yeah, nothing we'll be sharing will be stuff that we haven't done. Just like our coach always says, he will never give advice if it's something he doesn't have any experience of. Whereas I think a lot of coaches out there, they'll just pick up shit that they saw on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, but they've never actually personally had involvement in that.
Yeah, a lot of people know the words they're meant to say. They might even know the order they're meant to say them in, but they don't know what they mean. Mm. And it's, I find a lot of that. It's like,
yeah.
And then there's these other people, and we can all fall into this sometimes. When you're doing something new, you want to learn as much about it as you can before you try and do it. And actually, the trick is to learn enough that you can have a stab at it.
Getting your ducks in a row.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You might get 2 or 3 ducks in a row, but you ain't getting 10 in a row. So yeah, it's time to have a go.
Yeah. I mean, some people are just, they're world-class at getting ready. And I'm aware, I know I can write, I'll line this up, and I'll set up a Google Doc for that, and I'll have this app to... And I enjoy all that shit, but I know at some point I need to fucking start the thing. Because it will never, ever be 100%. That new thing you want to launch, the conditions will never be 100% perfect.
Is it Carnahan, the book Move Fast and Break Things?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I know SpaceX employ that as their, like, obviously highly dangerous thing that they're doing. So most space agencies, obviously starting with NASA and now there's a few private ones, are very risk averse because, one, it's dangerous, and two, it's really expensive. Mm-hmm. SpaceX is the opposite. They're like, we'll keep doing it and keep breaking it until it works, and they've developed much more quickly that way. And yeah, obviously with tremendous funding, but
I mean, the pain in it must be his first biography, the pain of those rockets crashing, and obviously the expense. But like you say, look where he is now.
Yeah, because down to his last one, wasn't he?
Because hardly any... I mean, it's amazing to watch them, like, land back on these little pads. You think, fucking hell. But that's, yeah, we were talking yesterday about risk, that some people are just willing to risk what other people aren't.
Yeah.
Like, even in our game, it's like some people are like, right, the example I always use is someone we've done a bit of work with in the past, who put $100,000 on her Amex, not knowing for certain whether it's going to work or not. Now it did, and she made $200,000 back, so kudos to her. Not many people be sat there thinking, I'm about to put $100,000 on this. Is it going to work or not? She'd done a due diligence. She certainly ain't fucking stupid. But again, take some cojones.
Or not in that case.
What is the politically correct? Ovaries? Can I say that?
Jesus Christ.
What's a collective term?
What, for balls?
Balls, ovaries, like pre-reproductive stuff.
Takes
genitals?
Some...
No. That should be... Hey, we'll go... Anyway, that'll be...
Take some steel. That's,
so,
that's
okay,
safer,
is that safer?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Gall? Is that a thing? Take some gall? That's a bit more like having a bit of like cheekiness about you, I suppose. Or...
I suppose so. Anyway, go down a hole... Hole
digging rabbit. You a hole and not hoping you get out of it.
That might end up not being that interesting.
Yeah. But we, you know, we see this a lot. Like, the best way to get good at meta ads, for example, is to be shit at them to start with. Like, your first campaign is not going to be your best campaign. And we meet a lot of business owners that they're like, oh, well, I'll stick a fiver on it and see what happens. Like, well, you're not going to learn anything, because there's two elements to that. One, you're not giving the platform enough money, so it doesn't actually give you a fair reflection of if your ad was any good. But the other bit is, you haven't got enough skin in the game. So if you haven't got enough skin in the game, you're not gaining any knowledge, or you're not gaining any wisdom or experience from that. Whereas, like, if you go out there and say, right, I've got 3 days to test these ads, and I'm going to drop £500 on it. £500 is enough to hurt anyone in the pocket. So chances are you will have made sure you've got enough knowledge that you're not just pissing it away. But you've got that opportunity to see if it works. And
we know business owners that have spent tens of pounds, like 70, 80 quid, on Facebook ads. Oh, those shit didn't work, and they've never done them again.
Yeah, it's, I didn't, like, get any calls back.
Yeah, it's like, how many times do you expect the fucking phone to ring when you've spent like 60 quid?
I can't... I've lost count of the number of tradespeople that have said that to me. Oh, I tried Facebook ads, they were shit. Well, how much did you spend? Well, I stuck £50 on it. But your average customer is £500. So what were you expecting for £50?
Well, the guy I've got in mind now, it's Top End Kitchens. So what's a Top End Kitchen cost?
Oh, £25,000 plus.
Yeah, and so he'd spent like 70 or 80 quid on Facebook ads. Like, oh my God, how you got any leads was you know, you've got some leads, that's good, but then turn around that saying they're all shit. It's like, oh my God, you spent 70 quid when you sell something for £25,000.
Yeah, and like, if you're an online business, so very low overheads, in the ad space, expect to spend 50% of your projected revenue on ads, because that's your outgoings. That's the lifeblood of your business. If you're a service business with overheads, that comes down, but it's still going to be quite high because you haven't got to actually produce anything. You just deliver the service. If it's a product, the maths are very different. You've got to think about margins and second purchase and lifetime value of a customer and all these things. But the amount of people we meet that they understand how to write an ad, or they understand the different types of ads there are, but in terms of like the application and wisdom to be like, okay, so how does this practically apply to my business, and what represents a good result and what represents a bad result? I mean, I bump into agencies that don't even know the answer to that.
Yeah, it's I mean, obviously it can be a minefield. It can be a quick way to lose a stupid amount of money, but fucking hell, you know, so can putting a full page ad in the local paper. That's cost you, I don't know, £500, and you haven't got a clue whether it's going to work or not.
But it's tangible, Andy. I can see it on
yes,
the page.
Yes. I mean, all joking aside, that is a big challenge with social media ads, that people just expect them to be such low cost because they're not printing a magazine or a newspaper, like you say, something you can hold in your hand. So
your nan's not going to cut out the Facebook ad and send it to you in the post.
So it must be like, you know, forget the fact you won't know who's seen your ad in the paper, what kind of people they are, how many of them, all this stuff that you can track with something like Meta ads. But yeah, you've got to invest, but invest smartly. And like you say, that is it's knowledge and wisdom.
Yeah, and I think like the wisdom of business owners in particular, that kind of like balancing how much knowledge you're trying to acquire with your own wisdom and like trusting your gut in business. You and I have reached this point, or tried to. But there comes a point where it's not your job to acquire knowledge anymore.
I was just reading a point here about that. Oh, yeah, 100% agree.
Where you have to trust other people to have more knowledge than you, and that you've got the wisdom to apply that knowledge. That sounds backwards, because you're sitting there going, well, if I don't know how it works, how on earth can I apply it?
Henry Ford, when he came under investigation. Yeah. Any question he got asked, all he had to do was press a buzzer, and someone in his team would know the answer. And the US Senate or whoever it was visiting them, basically trying to put him out of business because he was essentially...
It was a monopoly, wasn't it?
It was like a socialist model for them, wasn't it? One guy owning an entire industry. It's like, yeah, I don't have to know the answer to everything. I have people in my team that do. It's like, well, like us, marketing knowledge or whatever, there comes a point where, listen, I've got to recruit people for that. I want to invest my knowledge into entrepreneurship, management, leadership, growing a business, rather than just, I've now need to learn everything about TikTok ads. No, it makes more sense for me to recruit someone who's got that experience or pay them to learn how to acquire it, but it ain't my remit.
And there's sort of a element of creativity around wisdom and application as well that not many people have. And that I'm reticent to say that's the definitive difference between an employee and an employer, but you will find that there's people in your team who are able to take different pieces of knowledge, maybe from different applications, and merge it to create a solution for something else. And that's a rare quality. And so you need to build up the knowledge in your team, build up the knowledge in your business, but then have one or two people, or it might just be you, or you might have a manager or a leader in the team who can like pick the bits that they need to solve something else. Mm-hmm. And you see this time and time again in business. You know, I think microwaves came because of the space shuttle program and things like that, where someone took knowledge from somewhere else and brought it in. You know, jet engines have made a massive difference in all sorts of areas, and electric propulsion now with electric cars, all this stuff. But what tends to happen in small businesses that we see time and time again is the business owner so bothered about learning the next shiny thing, the, like you said, TikTok ads, or what's going to, like, they're worrying themselves about what's going to be the next evolution of social media or whatever it might be, that they're forgetting to go back to the fundamentals, the kind, like in our case, market, message, media, and apply their wisdom to fundamental pieces of knowledge in a different order to get a different result. And that just frustrates telling me.
That NASA example is about spending millions of dollars trying to develop a pen that could somehow fight gravity so it could write in space, whereas the Russians just took pencils.
Yeah.
And it's being so... not seeing sometimes what's right in front of you. That's why I was talking to Martha this morning or yesterday about, like, the Academy. It's... or in fact, any good conference or course or training program, it's not just always about learning new stuff. It's about reminding you of stuff that you think, shit, yeah, I'd forgotten about that, or reinforcing what you know works. Because even though there always is that temptation, that pressure, right, I must teach new things all the time. It's like, right, sometimes it's worth stopping. Right, let's go over the principles. Let's go over those fundamental rules of business growth. Because I'd say at least half of the people we speak to, they forget that because they are distracted by all those shiny new things that are out there.
So frustrating. Like, what's the simplest way to get to the result? No, so few business owners are asking themselves that. So it might be, shit, I've got a 20 grand VAT bill coming up and I know I've only got 8 grand in the bank. What do I do? Well, for most businesses, the simplest way to get to that result would be to ring the 5 people that you get on best with working with and ask them what else they need. And you'll quickly raise the funds. But what most people will do is squirrel themselves under the stairs, try and come up with something new and try and sell it to the masses, which is hard, and end up in a right pickle. And so you've always got to come back to what's the simplest way to get to the result I want. We had a situation yesterday in the business where, rightfully so, a client was looking forward to receiving a report on what we'd been doing for them. And there's two types of report in marketing. There's the report that like baffles the client with science and it looks amazing, it's beautiful, it's got colours all over it, lovely pictures, and when by the time you finish reading 365 pages of this report, you know fuck all. And there's the report that tells you the key metrics, what's good, what's bad, what's indifferent, and what we're going to do next. And that's obviously the simplest option. So we opted for the simplest option. To actually get to the to what's required in the simplest option, much like an iPhone or something like that, sometimes takes more work than the complicated one. But after that point, it's never difficult again.
Yeah.
And that takes the wisdom of trying to go the long way round in the past and learning from your mistakes. And there's a lot of business owners have never gone the long way round to realise not to do it again.
A lot of business owners, they don't learn from our mistakes. I mean, we've been guilty of this. You know, you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got, on that phrase. And sometimes it's like, right, okay, I just need to think a bit differently and come back to, right, what are the principles of what I do? Chances are, somewhere along the way, you've forgotten about them.
Yeah.
But, you know, we get that. It is easy to be distracted. There are so many options out there and so much stuff that sounds cool. There's someone maybe you respect in business who's doing something new and apparently that's working really well, so I must try that as well. Oh, right, he says you must do YouTube ads now. She says you must be on Threads. Where do you turn?
Oh, yeah, we've had an amazing example of that recently where we run a campaign called a video sales letter where you basically want people to opt in to watch a free training. And the training we're putting out is very valuable. And then the concern comes, well, what if they don't watch the whole video? It won't do what we want it to do. But actually what we want it to do is capture us the lead. Mm-hmm. But it's so easy to get concerned with what if they don't watch the whole video that we forget that we've already got the lead. And I see that so much with businesses where they're like, well, they didn't buy. So what have you asked them to? Like, you've got the lead. Yeah, I know, but they didn't watch the 27 videos in the correct order and then read all 14 emails in my email funnel and then opt into my other email funnel, send me a WhatsApp and apply for my competition. It's like, well, no wonder they didn't buy. And and that kind of logic is lost because everyone's trying to do this whole, like, automate the shit out of everything and have a hands-off business where I don't want to do cold DMs. I certainly don't want to do cold calls. I don't want to have to speak to anyone. I want people to just buy my shit. I don't want to need to build my authority because people should buy it because it's good. All these things. It's like, okay, well, the simple answer here is no one knows who you are, no one knows what it is you're selling, and no one knows how to buy it. So until you address those three things, it's not going to sell no matter what you do.
And consistently make that clear.
Yeah.
Because again, it's a noisy world out there. You are fighting against so much clutter and just so much shit, because I understand how tempting it is to say go down the organic route. All I need to do is post on my social media three times a day and business will come to me because what I offer is good. People don't think like that. Is it clear? Is it impactful? Is it something a six-year-old can understand? So if you're using all these jargony words or words that you may not even realize are jargon because you've been in your industry so long, it's like, would the average person you're selling to understand what you're on about?
Yeah.
Would they see why you do what you do, what your values are? Is it easy to find social proof, see what a customer says about you, which is going to be 100 times more powerful than what you say about yourself? I don't know the word apart from basics.
Yeah.
Basics will stand you in good stead, even though they're pretty unsexy.
And in the context of this episode, it's do you know what you're doing and do you know how to use what you know? And if you can't demonstrate that to a potential customer, they're not going to buy. And you know, we can't bash organic. There are audiences out there where just being a business that uses organic will work, because if you've got a starving crowd and you find the right group on social media, you will do well. But there's very few businesses out there that have a crowd like that. You've got to earn the trust first, that know, like, trust thing. And people just massively overcomplicate it. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do 17 stories on a Monday, 3 stories on a Tuesday, 65 stories on a Wednesday, none on a Thursday because that'll trick the algorithm into pushing me out more on Friday, and then I'll do 3 on Friday. And you're like, come on, just email your database. Like, what can you do right now to make the till ring? And if the answer is I can't make the till ring right now, okay, that's when you need to start acquiring a bit more knowledge.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's like that, putting a financial number on your time is so important. Like, you know, again, ads might not be right for everyone. We're a big fan of ads. The fact that you're there posting and posting and posting and posting, yes, it's not costing anything, but it is costing you time. So what's your time worth an hour? Yeah, it costs money to get a website professionally designed and built. You want to do it yourself in fucking Wix or whatever? That's great. How long is it taking you? 200 hours. Oh, fuck me. So it's worked out a lot more expensive than if you've gone to a web designer then. And whereas, say, ads can do what your organic does, but in like a fraction of time. And you can use your time to do fucking something more productive or do something you love doing. Go and spend more time with your family.
And if you're a new business or relaunching your business or whatever it is, so let's say you're a plumber and you're sat there going, oh, I need to build my website or I'm not going to get any customers. That's bollocks. You're lying to yourself. The reality is, stick up a landing page that's got a picture of your van on it or a picture of a tap, your contact details, a form so they can fill it in, and get yourself out there. And like, start knocking on doors, put some business cards in the chip shop. Like, it's not that, like, a lot of businesses are not that complicated.
Oh, get a chippy tea tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, Emma's birthday.
Been a long time. Romantic, huh?
Well, if it's what you like.
Shame now, though. So now the Poddy's not here. The three girls, they don't like a chippy tea, so that's off the cards for our meeting.
Too greasy for them, yeah.
That's annoying.
I mean, I'm
well, that's a bit pizza.
I'm
then,
intolerant
Joe.
To potato, but I still eat it.
Where'd that come from?
Nightshade. I can't have it, but I still do.
Oh, intolerant. You just mean, well,
makes me bloated. It makes me shit everywhere.
Lovely. Hey. Okay. Is it time to wrap this up then? All that gorgeous note?
I guess, like, on that note, the other thing you can do to fast track your business, the thing that people fail to realise, is you don't have to spend 20 years getting wise. You can buy wisdom from others. So that might be buying a book. Mm-hmm. It might be employing a marketing agency. It could be going to see a solicitor. Whatever it is you need. It could be joining the academy. But the best lesson you'll ever learn is the one you didn't have to. So, oh, I haven't fallen over that step because I saw someone else fall over that step. Or I haven't wasted all my money on some weird crypto coin because I saw someone else do it and learnt not to. And yeah, the best mistake, I don't know what the phrase is, the best mistake you've never made is the one you don't have to, or something, but...
don't know that one.
I think I made it up.
Joel Stone.
Yeah.
Albert Einstein.
Yeah, that was it. Muhammad Ali. But
Einstein, Ali, Churchill.
Henry Ford.
And I think Henry Ford's mostly us. I think the other three, they just...
Oh, and there's loads as well, isn't there, where... The person that gets credited with the quote was the second person to say it. Like, everyone's got a plan till they get punched in the face. Wasn't first said by Mike Tyson, but he just made it famous.
Yeah, there's all these people now. They'll just...
It's all Aristotle, basically.
It's all like, fucking, what's that website where you go and they trace where a quote originally came from? And it's someone no one's ever heard of in 1422.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound anywhere near as relevant or cool as Winston Churchill.
Yeah. Yeah, I much preferred it when Sonic the Hedgehog said that, yeah. So, yeah, I think you've got to actively pay attention to the mistakes and the wins that people around you are getting, and not many people do that because you're too caught up in your own life. And you can gain a lot of wisdom from others from that. And, like, something I was always brought up to believe is you can learn anything off anyone, particularly with, not necessarily knowledge, because some people don't have a lot of knowledge, but wisdom, you know, if you go into the Amazon rainforest and find a tribe that's never seen other people before, they'll have a fuck ton of wisdom. They won't be able to help you with Facebook ads, but they'll certainly have a lot of wisdom. And you shouldn't write that off because their problem-solving ability will be way better than yours. And so that's kind of a real smart way to fast-track your business. Like Elon Musk is really good at it, whether you like him or not, in terms of applying wisdom from other business areas into space travel or road travel or boring holes under the ground, like the things he does. And time and again, like Bezos has done the same, Jobs did it at Apple. You see these people who take, like Branson's another one, where he's taken this like this rock and roll attitude to magazine and applied it to an airline, and some of the wisdom was transferable and amazing things happened. And if you can do that in your business, you'll be able to jump light years ahead of your competitors by applying wisdom gained from other areas, which is kind of why we've set up the Academy.
I think applying wisdom, application in general, those people you mentioned there, they've all got that work ethic to, like, it's almost like, yes, they'll have failures, maybe Branson and his Coca-Cola. But generally speaking,
Virgin Cola.
Remember that. What they do, the hours they put in, like, you know, Musk at his first company, like the job of the employee turn up first in the morning was to wake him up.
Yeah.
And he'd have a swig of coffee and he'd get back to work again. He'd literally like sleep on a bloody beanbag in the office when he earned nothing. And then that was a company.
I think he still does it now.
Oh, I bet he works harder than, I bet he never sees his family.
Yeah. It's quite, you know, I don't think I'm an advocate for that. He's extreme. But we're not talking about becoming multi-billionaires. We're just talking about getting your business.
Yeah. And
growing at a sensible rate.
Got to be honest, we know some people who they want the six pack, but they don't want to lift the weights.
Oh.
They just, you know, it's like, work smarter. Yes, of course. But you got to work hard. I don't know many super successful people who don't graft. Might not graft like they did at the beginning. Like, you can't do 80 hours a week forever. But they still work hard.
Yeah. And the really good ones are really open to learning the lessons around them. So, on that note, you can learn a lot of lessons in the Academy. I must have plugged this about 300 times in this episode.
Carry on.
But, visit academy.cobreak.co.uk/join, or simpler, just visit cobreak.co.uk or DM me or Nandy or whatever. But we're going to get back to the fundamentals of marketing. We want people to come and join us and learn from our mistakes.
Yeah, genuinely. Fucking too, right.
And our wins, some of our clients' mistakes, some of our clients' wins, real life examples, you know, like, I don't know how to say it without sounding old, but at the coalface, where we can either teach you or help you use the knowledge you've already got and apply it. Actually make it work for your business. Make it an actionable plan that you can actually use, not just chucking 50 quid at a Facebook ad and then standing back with your hands over your eyes kind of thing.
Crossing your fingers, yeah. It's getting more customers more easily.
Yeah. Simple as that.
Excellent.